So we're going to be talking about prayer. And the emphasis I want to make is this. Some of these principles may be familiar to you. But let's be honest, okay? Because how many times have we said, I'm going to pray about that? And then you sort of threw a little token thought upward. You know, we all do it, y'all. We all do it. And how many times, I can't tell you, it made my jaw drop. I heard somebody say this that is a very strong believer last year, several months ago. And I made the comment that one of my children said, oh, I don't even want to pray about that. And I just went, well, no wonder this is not working out. I mean, yeah. And this mature believer that's been walking with the Lord for decades goes, oh, I get that. There's a ton of stuff I don't want to pray about. And I went, really? Wow. And I mean, everybody at the table jumped in and said, oh, yeah, I do that all the time. I'm going, okay, great, good to know. Thanks for saying. So the challenge is some of these may be familiar principles to you, but what I would like for us to do is be really honest in saying, okay, how much are we really applying this? And what areas that we're not having victory, could we go deeper? Could we actually maybe think about bringing to the table, think about bringing to our prayer closet? Okay, so with that, I am going to make a little analogy, and then I'm going to launch right in. I started thinking about it. You know, I'm always saying, when we gave the spiritual blessings and the promises out, I'm saying, okay, you can take these to the bank. You can take these to the bank. So I started thinking about that because, okay, that preaches now on this topic of prayer. Okay, so if we're God's children, and it says in His Word that He has given us an inheritance in Christ, the spiritual blessings, all the promises of God that are listed in Scripture, that's the inheritance, okay? It's stored up in heaven for us. And the provider or the guarantor of it is God. The currency is His Word. And then the access is given, or the withdrawals are made, or you might just want to say you write a check on it by prayer. And I just went, okay, cool. That's cool. That's cool. It's like, okay, I have all this great stuff. Just think, if someone left you a will and testament, and there was like jewels and money and cars and houses, and you never made a withdrawal, it wouldn't do you any good. And so that's what God has for us. I mean, He has like 66 books of all this that He said He wants to give us, and all of Himself. And it's by prayer that we write the check to get access to it. So that got me excited to just think about that. Okay, I want to read for us two prayers from Scripture. That these, y'all, I will say, and I don't say this in a braggy way, I say it in a, I am so so distrustful of my own self and my own choices that I really do pray because I don't want to be the one to say. You know, I really do. But when I read these two scriptures, I was so challenged in my prayer life that I have wrestled them down all week long. So we'll just jump in. The first one is the one I mentioned, Genesis 18, starting in verse 20. And this is the story of Abraham. The Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Okay, so I'm thinking bold. Okay, Abraham, and this is what I found out in my studying. This is, if it wasn't cinched, already cinched it for me. This is the first prayer recorded in the Bible. Isn't that fun? Okay, so Abraham, he launches off on the topic of prayer with this prayer. Okay, God, let me just point out that for you to be the righteous judge, I mean, surely I'm going to come to you and ask you to save the city for the sake of the 50 righteous that might be there. And so this is what the Lord says. He said, okay, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. good. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for lack of 5? So the Lord said, if I find there are 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So the Lord said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So the Lord said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And Abraham said, indeed now, I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So the Lord said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then Abraham said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So I just thought, okay, wow. Okay, if we're not doing this, we got some room to grow in our prayer lives. I just thought, wow, that's an amazing prayer. So that's the first one. The second one is one I came across several weeks ago that just blew me away. Okay, this is, I'm going to give you the background. Jesus was in Gentile territory, and this woman was a Canaanite. So she is not one of the Hebrew people. And she has a daughter who's demon-possessed. And she comes up, and she is asking for mercy, asking for Jesus' attention. The disciples are getting so irritated with her. And then we're going to pick it up in Matthew 15:22. It says, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But Jesus answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs will eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Wow. I just went, okie dokie. I want to be like that chick right there. She got, both of these people were commended by Jesus or by God in the Word for their great faith. And there's a lot to learn from these prayers. And so what I wanted to do is just pick out some principles from the prayers that we just read and then some other ones that come from Jesus' teaching, because I think everyone that we find here, Jesus taught it in the Sermon on the Mount or to his disciples. So let's just start, because I have like 9 of them. The first one is, and they all start with S. Don't y'all love it? That I was able to work that out again this week. Okay, the first one is seek your father. And you know, Abraham couldn't do this. Did you realize that no one addressed God as father in the Old Testament? I didn't really think about that until I was doing some study on this. But they didn't have the privilege of God calling God their father. But we do. In fact, that's what Jesus instructed them to do. I mean, like there's 4 verses in just Matthew 6 alone where he tells us to do that. He says in Matthew 6:6, when you pray, and this is from the New Living, Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. In verse 9, he says, pray like this, our Father in heaven. In verse 32, your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And then in verse 33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And the idea of this is relational. Once again, it's one more time coming back to the thing of relationship. And I don't know what your relationship was like with your earthly father, but I know for me, this is helpful for me, because I had an earthly father that delighted in me and loved to do for me. Sometimes that gets in my way, though, because he didn't always use the wisdom that God uses in dealing with me as his daughter. So sometimes that can trip me up, because I expect God to do like my daddy did. And he doesn't always do that. For those of you who had an earthly father that may have not been around or supported you in a way that you would have longed to have been supported, then that may become a hurdle for you. So there's a growth point for us, is to is to approach God as our Heavenly Father in a father-daughter relationship, and to learn to do it free of whatever roles, earthly roles that we might have had in our lives. And really, the prize that we'll get, you know, he says, if you pray to your Father in secret, he'll reward you. So the reward, if nothing else, is to have a perfect father, to get to know him in relationship. And that's what he said to Abraham. He said, Abraham, I am your shield and your very great reward in Genesis 15:1. So if nothing else in prayer, we get the reward of God as our Father. Secondly, we want to come sure of an answer. And that is what I saw in both of our people that were praying in those examples I read, that they came boldly. And Jesus tells us to do that. Matthew 7:7-8, and I'm reading from the New Living. Jesus is instructing his disciples. He says, keep on asking and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So to me, there's your expectation, that he is saying, everyone who prays receives. God answers prayer. And I was told once, and I would testify to this according to my experience, God will tell us yes, sometimes he tells us no, and sometimes he tells us wait. But he will answer us. And I think it's really tempting to reason this away and think, oh, surely he doesn't mean that. I mean, he doesn't really mean that he's going to answer all of our prayers. I mean, there's just been too many prayers that I've prayed that I haven't seen the answer to. And I think part of it is in the way we pray, and we're going to address that in just a minute. But I think part of it is our unbelief. And I have three more scriptures that are, I mean, they're out there, y'all. They are big promises from the Word. The first one is John 15:7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That was Jesus speaking. He's speaking again in Matthew 21:22 and says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Mark 11:24, he's speaking again. I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Okay, so to me, the one guide that I would say to you is this. There's a verse that's probably the biggest prayer verse of my life, and it's 1 John 5:14-15. And it says this. This is the confidence that we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. So you see, the condition is we ask anything according to his will. So that means if you're praying something from the Word of God, a principle or a promise of Scripture, that qualifies. And I do believe, if we talked about earlier, and I don't remember which week it was, is to bring your desires before the Lord. And we'll talk about this in just a minute, but to bring in our desires before the Lord is okay. He tells us to pour your heart out before him. So it's okay to bring your desires, but we'll talk a little bit more about how to negotiate that in just a minute. Okay, the third principle is that our prayers would be Scripture-based, and I told you the testimony one week about how my life just changed so dramatically when I heard the verse Psalm 119:65 that says, God deals with us according to his word. So that's how I learned to pray. I mean, when I didn't know what to pray, I would look up, I would go on my Bible search engine, I would look in my concordance, I would look in my topical Bible, I would look in my little promise book that somebody gave me, and I would find whatever topic that was closest to what I was dealing with, and I would find a verse that addressed it, and I would just say, okay. And here's a quote from somebody way more prayer warrior than me, and that's Corrie Ten Boom. I'm sure you all know Corrie. This is what she said. She said, I like to pray with my Bible open. Then I say, Father, you have promised it. Now you must do it. And it pleases the Father very well because he is serious about his promises. Can't you see little old Corrie doing that? So, Scripture-based and then Spirit-led. This is a powerful verse. As I was working through my appreciation, giving thanks, and kind of got stuck. I got stuck. I thought, okay, I have said everything I can say with integrity to thank God for my circumstances painful. And I'm kind of stuck. I don't know what to pray yet. I know that my heart's not totally surrendered here. But I know I want to deal with it because I don't want to feel disconnected anymore. I want the peace of God. I want the love of God. I want the power of God to come to this situation. And the Lord reminded me of this verse. And I want to read it to you from the Amplified because it is so stinking good. And it's wordy and it's chunky, but just bear with me, okay, because this is so worth it. Romans 8, 26 and 27 from the AMP. The Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it. Don't you just love it that he just says that? And you go, thank you so much for saying it. Nor to offer it as worthily as we ought, but the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints, according to and in harmony with God's will. How great is that? So, I mean, Jesus called him, I will send you a helper. He is our helper. When you don't know what to pray, just say, God, I don't know what to pray. Will you pray Romans? I just pray. I'll just say Romans 8, 26. And then I'll just be still and just listen. And the thought that comes next to my heart is what I'm going to pray. I mean, I'll test it and see, does it line up with what I know of Scripture? If it is, that becomes my prayer. Let me give you four little pointers on this. First of all, practice. Practice. It, you know, this takes some practice. A little trial and error to get in rhythm with the Spirit there. Secondly, that listening thing. And here, if you think, okay, I taught like 2 whole weeks on this topic. I wish I could, you know, just go, rah! You know, and just get all those points in, but I can't. But here's one verse to support that God will reveal and lead you in your prayers. Psalm 25, verse 14. Psalm 25, 14, and this is from the NIV, says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant unto them. That's what God did with Abraham. He said, hey, Abraham, I'm going to go tell you. I'm telling you what I'm about to do. I mean, he was fueling his desires to pray. So God does that. And then having a neutral heart. Okay, I'm going to say this in like 1 second. But let me just tell you, talking about the internal work being the hardest work I do behind the scenes, getting in neutral is it, okay? And so basically what that means is what Jesus prayed in Luke 22, 42. Lord, if you would let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. That's getting in neutral. And that sometimes, this is when I'll pull out my give thanks strategy and I'll say, God, I'm going to thank you on the front end either way. You know the desire of my heart. You know that I want this particular thing to happen. But if it does or if it doesn't, I'm going to believe you and trust you. And I'm going to give thanks either way. Right now, I give thanks. And then I will do it when it happens.
Hey, Kathy, that Psalm 25, is that verse 14 or verse 24?
I thought it was 14, but it could.
It says 14. It's 14, okay.
We have a typo on the paper. I typoed, sorry. And then the last thing is pay attention to your peace level. And this is another Amplified Bible. But really, y'all, no kidding. I've had so many people say, well, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know it's God? Well, you, first of all, like we said, we make sure it's Scripture-based. And then you listen. You get in neutral. And then check your peace level. If you have that little caution, if you have that little red flag, I always say, when in doubt, I don't. So Colossians 3:15 is our verse for that from the Amplified. Let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which as members of Christ one body you are also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. I love that he tagged that onto that verse. So anyway, the peace of God is your umpire. That's Spirit-led praying. Okay. How are we doing on time? Okay, I'm going to tell just a little story. Okay, y'all, my son graduated about a month ago from college. And it's not like I didn't know that this was coming for like 4 years, okay? You can look out on the World Wide Web and find out when graduation is, probably for 2040, okay? So I had had a busy year. And I started, you know, I like to get past one thing before I get to the next thing, before I get to the next thing. So it hits me. Okay, graduation, time to plan graduation. And I had been praying mainly about the gift. You know, God, what could I do to mark this, you know, momentous occasion? And I'd ask him, you know, do you want to eat out? Do you want me to bring food? What are you going to do? So I did. I mean, I wasn't just totally irresponsible here. But it hit me, I don't know, probably about 8 or 9 days before graduation. Graduation starts at 10. You need to be in your seat by about 8:45 if you want to get a good seat. And it's in Auburn and we're in Birmingham. That would mean I'm either going to have to get up in the middle of the night or I'm going to need a room. I didn't have a room. So I said something to my husband, and he was not very excited about the idea, but I really prayed about it, and I thought, okay. And so I just, you know, prayed, and I just felt like the Lord, when I got up the next morning, it was like Thursday. Or no, that was Thursday that I thought about it. But on Friday, a week before graduation, it was like I had this inner peace about going ahead and getting on the phone and calling. I called the Hampton Inn. Oh, yes, ma'am, that's commencement. We've been booked for several months. I'm sorry we don't have anything to offer you. I said, oh, thank you so much, dink. Holiday Inn Express. Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, but that's commencement, dink. You know, it's the same. I did that with every hotel in Auburn, and I'm thinking, okay. And so it's like the Lord said, why don't you ask me for favor? It's one of my favorite prayers to pray. I went, favor, the favor of the Lord. Oh, God. I said, I am so asking you for favor, but I'm going to give you thanks. Either way, if you want me to have a good attitude and get up in the middle of the night, I so will do that. But I'm just praying for favor, and I don't know anybody else to call. Get on the internet. So I got on the internet, hotels near Auburn, and I found that there is a place called the Jameson Inn. Never heard of the Jameson Inn. I didn't care what the Jameson Inn was like. But it did get 4 out of 5 stars. So I get on the phone. Jameson Inn, this is Jim. And I was laughed in his face. I went, Jameson Inn, this is Jim. It's kind of a funny little thing. I said, hey, Jim, you know, listen, let me tell you my situation. He goes, well, you know, this is commencement, and we've been booked for months. And I go, yeah. And he goes, and, you know, we have a special policy for special events. I said, really? And I'm thinking, so why are you telling me this? Because you've just told me you've been booked for months. And he said, you know, you have to cancel a week out. Oh, my gosh, it's a week out. Listen, I just got a cancellation for 2 rooms. Would you like those? And I went, yes, I got favor. Y'all, I mean, I am not going to tell you, but I'm sorry. I am a Park and Place prayer. You can bash me if you want to. I cannot tell you how many great Park and Places I have gotten by praying. So I'm just saying. Now, I have hiked before, too, but I'm just telling you, you have not because you asked not. Okay, so that was my story. Submissive attitude. Okay, think about the attitude that Abraham and the Canaanite woman used. They adjusted their prayers based on the revelation of God. You know, this was a process that they kind of worked through it. We read through it pretty quickly, but if you'll look, they kind of adjusted it and honed their prayer based on the dialogue they had with God. And that's what our prayer closet is, y'all. It's the place where we come into harmony with the will of God. I mean, God doesn't really need us to do his will, if you think about it, but he really wants to have a relationship with us, and it's like any other relationship. We connect, and we move forward in relationship as we negotiate, and that's what happens in our prayer closet. He tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace, but he exhorts us to do that with a heart that's humble as his children, that we're teachable and we'd be yielded. And I thought about this episode that I had, and I thought, there's surely got to be some spiritual application to this horrific trip to the grocery store. I was in Publix about 3 weeks ago, and there was this little boy that was probably 2 and a half, you know the age. and he was with his dad, and I'm thinking, what is this trend about these dads going to the grocery store, okay? Because they're all on their set. This one had this little boy, and the little boy, y'all, and I needed to do a big run. This was the big run I had to do. This dad had this little bitty boy, and the whole entire time on every row, he was screaming at the top of his lungs. I want I never did understand what it was he wanted, but he wanted something, and his daddy was not giving it to him. And you could hear him. I thought, you know what? I'm going to start over with the pharmaceuticals, okay, and the water, and let them have the dairy, okay? Now you could hear him over there, too. So I thought about him, and I thought, you know, that I wouldn't cut. That is reminding me of how sometimes we do when it comes to something we want badly in our prayers, that we are pitching a fit, and we're not really submitted. We're not listening. We're not willing to hear the reasons why. The second example of a child is from Psalm 133, that I love this. And to me, it's a beautiful thing to see a baby rest its head, you know, against its parent in trust. And this is what it describes in Psalm 133 in the AMP. It says, "O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me, ceased from fretting." So that to me is a picture of what it looks like and what it feels like to have a submitted heart attitude. And then the next thing I wanted to mention is to be specific in your request. I mean, OA boy, he had it down to the tens and the fives and all that. Be specific, because there's several reasons. First of all, it helps you recognize that when God answers your prayer. I think that's the reason a lot of us can't testify to a lifestyle of just daily prayers being answered, is because you're not asking for specific needs. Jesus said that to the blind man in Mark 10:51. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Instead of just saying, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. God bless me. God bless me. God bless me. God bless my family. God, you know, some generic prayer." He said, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Oh, Rabbi, I want to see." Well, that's a way more exciting prayer, don't you think? Because Jesus did it. My example on this one is, I'd love to tell y'all the whole full-blown story about how I totaled my car when I ran into a mailbox a year ago this week. I did. Yes, I did. I was coming out of my neighborhood, and I will spare you the gory details of how, because really no one knows how I could total an SUV. But I did. I was going maybe 15, 20 miles an hour, and I just glanced down at my cell phone, and poof, the airbags went off and everything, and my car was totaled. And so I will just tell you that my husband said, you know, I'm not going to mention the list of car boo-boos you've had that are like as long as your arm. I'm not going to mention those, but what I am going to tell you is, when I negotiate with the insurance company for the settlement, I'm going to hand you that check and you can go get yourself a car. And I went, "Thanks, baby." So he got me a good little settlement. And y'all, I'm ashamed to say, really, that my dad and my husband or my employer had bought every vehicle that I'd ever driven. And so I thought, oh, how do I do this? You know, I don't know what to do. I mean, I know I'm a good shopper in certain things, but this is kind of a guy thing, I think. Okay, so I started with basically, I broke it down. And the Lord was so faithful, it took me a month to do it. But I started with, okay, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, "Without a vision, the people perish." So I prayed for a vision of what kind of car did he want me to get. And then the second part of that prayer was, how much money can I pull out of my savings account? You know, if any, maybe the number would be zero. Maybe I would buy another six-year-old Ford product. I mean, maybe I would get a zero, and I was willing to take a zero if I got it. But no, I got myself a little number, and I got a vision about what kind of car, and then I had the Lord confirm that as I went to drive the cars, and I felt real sure about my direction. And come to find out, I picked a car that was not available. It was like everybody wanted this car. There were none. I mean, there were very few. So therefore, the price that I had a piece about and the car that I felt led to buy, they really weren't matching. And I'm thinking, did I hear you right, God? And I mean, that's kind of what took so long. But what I'm just going to tell you is that I just went to have my car service last Friday, and I went down to the dealership and let them tweak something, sync my phone to this thingy. And anyway, I was talking to the salesman, and he said, where'd you get this car anyway? I said, how long have you got? Because, I mean, this could be a really long answer, or do you just want the bottom line? And so we had a good conversation, and anyway, he said, you got it from where? And it was from some guy that picked it up at auction that was a car dealer somewhere out in the boondocks. And he said, that guy did not know what he had. And I said, what do you mean? He said, there were none of those cars available. And I go, tell me. And he said, no. He said, if that car had been sitting on our lot, it would have been probably $4,000 or $5,000 more than that. And I just went. I mean, a year later, I felt like the Lord just said, see. So, I mean, that's, to me, that is the beauty. I mean, now, and it's God's car. So when it messes up, it's God's car. I figure if God can buy me a car that's not available for the price that I had, then he can take care of my car. So see how living to do things like those basic things and basic functions of life, if you'll do that by prayer, then it'll just do that good vicious cycle of bolstering your faith, and it'll just lead to more praying and more glory and more excitement and more closeness with God. Okay, stepwise, and I'll just say stepwise, just like Abraham walked step by step. We said that about him. I bought my car step by step. Matthew 13:12 says, to those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But to those who are not listening, even what they have will be taken away from them. Okay, so let me just paraphrase that. That's kind of a wordy verse. But basically, it's like this. God asks us to walk by faith and not by sight. So usually he is not going to give you the whole enchilada on the front end. So what you do is you take your prayer request before him, and then he's going to most likely give you a little bit of light to give you enough to step out one step. And that's what we call here in Divine Design our next right thing. Okay, so you step out in faith on your next right thing, and then you get your next right thing. He will feed you like that just as much as you need to get to the next step of faith. And at the end, you'll look back and go, wow, each one of those was a chance to connect with God, to know God. Each step is a testimony. Each step is a place you can get excited about when you think about it. And it helps you then with the next set of circumstances you're facing, because you don't freak out because you don't know everything. You don't need to know everything. You just need to know your next right thing, okay? A surrendered outcome. Now, this is similar to the thing that we talked about before, but let me just mention the story with Abraham. Okay, Abraham came and he said, if God, if God, if God, if God. As I read the commentary on this, what it suggested was, do y'all remember Lot? Lot was the nephew, and that was Lot's area when they divided up. And so the commentators believe that, yes, Abraham was a kind and, you know, generous kind of guy that didn't want anybody to get blown away, wicked or good. But what it was really on his heart was his nephew Lot. And so if you think about it, what happened here was this. God did not answer Abraham's exact request. Sodom got blown away anyway. But guess what did happen? Lot and his three family members got saved. So, see, I mean, it's just like, okay, I can do that. If something is on my heart and God chooses a creative and different way to answer that, I'm good with that. Because God has, you know, God sees the end from the beginning. He sees all of time. He knows the hearts of every individual involved. And so he's multitasking all the while. It's not just me and my little thing. So I need to be surrendered to believe that God is good. And now is when I need my board. And can y'all see it on that end? Because this is really not in the middle, and I'm not going to take up too much time to say it. But I'm going to write this formula on the board. I'm going to write it real big so you can see. Do I have another one of these anywhere? Okay, I'm just going to. No, that's not doing it. Okay. Okay, I can do it. I can talk at the same time. I'm going to multitask. Okay, here is the thing. What we want to do is we want to go back to the character of God. So we're going to put C equals A plus B. And what this stands for is the character of God. This is always, always, this is where we start. We want to start with the known. If you believe that the Bible is true, then this is a known. God's character is a known. And what I'm going to say about Sodom and Gomorrah, what I'm going to say about my family dynamic, what I'm going to say about your financial situation, what I'm going to say about the job or some other decision, is that God is good. That is a known. Psalm 34:10 says, "No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." And this could be the, well, let me do this. Principle or promise of God. I like the letters to match. Plus our prayers. And then let's leave the outcome to God. We want to leave the outcome to God knowing that it's going to be good because the one who's in charge is good. Instead of judging an outcome and saying, oh, if so-and-so happens, that would be bad. No, it wouldn't. Because God has said, how great is the goodness which I have stored up for you who take refuge in me before the sons of men, Psalm 31:19. And he will not withhold. Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing, it says in Psalm 34:10. So if you're seeking him in prayer, you will not lack a good thing. It will be good. And choose whether you understand it or not to declare it. This is good. I give you thanks for it, whether it looks, feels, tastes like it or not. And then lastly, I had to stretch on this last one, sterile. I thought of sanitary, and I thought, oh, that sounds kind of gross. So I went with sterile. Sterile motives. James 4:2, I quoted a minute ago, says, you do not have because you do not ask. And the verse behind that says, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. That you may spend it on your pleasure. Some versions say because you ask with wrong motives. You have not because you ask not. That's one reason for unanswered prayer. And another reason is because you ask with wrong motives. I am going to close. What can we expect from the God and from our God in the area of prayer? And I think it's amazing what we can expect. And I hope you've been challenged to believe for more. No matter where you are in your prayer life. And I just want to challenge you this week to take some of the suggestions about how to maybe tweak your prayer life, how to maybe hone it, maybe to be more committed to it. I put some things on there on your paper of applications that I think will just give you a lot of excitement about re-coming to your prayer closet. And this was my favorite thing that I read all week about prayer, and I want to share this with you. It's from Andrew Murray. He says this: prayer still remains what it would have been if man had never fallen. The proof of man's godlikeness, the vehicle of his intercourse with the infinite unseen one, the power that is allowed to hold the hand that holds the destinies of the universe.